This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March all the months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
It's often joked that the day is called Low Sunday because of low turnout, low interest, lots of other things. But for me, it always fits in with Holy Week, almost as a part of Holy Week. Holy Week is a very intense pilgrimage through the story of Christ. We walk with Him through that story, seeing the story from different perspectives, the disciples, multitudes, and the perspective of Christ. And it can be rather exhausting. I often refer to it as the liturgical marathon. You have a number of services, all of which are completely different, unique, take place once a year, one after the other. It is also quite an opportunity to participate in the symbolic life in an outward form. And so when one is done with it, you're a bit exhausted perhaps, but there's a period of transition back to less frequent coming together to participate in the symbolism and the story of the tradition. I found myself this last week being somewhat adapted, I guess, to Holy Week, and having to adapt back. Having to find other things to do with my evenings than have services, which is challenging for me, I guess. I don't have a life outside of liturgical life sometimes, it seems. But it is a re-engagement also with the world. I put off a lot of things until after Holy Week. In the story, Easter is the day where particularly Mary Magdalene, but the other apostles, recognize that there is a continuance, that even after a bodily death, brutal bodily death, that this isn't the end of the movement, the end of the story, the end of this transformative presence in their midst, that it continues. The theme for today is Wealth of Spirit. After this roller coaster of Holy Week, this death and this recognition, we are left in a world changed, a world without that continuous presence of Christ, which is a lot like the experience we have of the continuous liturgical participation. And we have to adapt, just as they adapted, to a different relationship, to a more inward relationship. These outward forms are helpful, not always with us. They also have their limitations. They can only do so much. Even if we were to devote our lives in some way to constant liturgical celebrations, we'd get bored with it pretty quick, I imagine. Or we'd either that or run out of money really quick or something. And so we must find ways to bring that with us into the rest of life, the rest of our existence, to realize that that abundance, that treasure, is with us always, that wealth of spirit. You might think, wouldn't we speak of wealth of spirit? It's not like we've got any other wealth we can talk about. Even when people seek out these things in the world, this wealth, money, and let's be frank, it beats the alternative, but too much of it becomes a lot of ways, you know, not so much too much money, but too much attention, time spent, too much time serving money. It's a type of slavery in and of itself. Serving one's consumer desires can take up a lot of time, leave you with a lot of bills, make you a very miserable person, when what we are seeking is usually more directly achieved directly. Yeah, it was bad phrasing, but what the heck. That when we can seek happiness directly, seek fulfillment, growth directly, then we don't need to buy a new car that's shiny, blazing red or whatever. You know, it just isn't as important. Nice, it's nicer to have one than a old beat-up junker, you know, from personal experience, but it's not that nice. It's not nice enough to conform your life towards having it, to make yourself a servant of that. So it's not so much that wealth of spirit is in opposition to material wealth, it's that it is its own thing. And we often mistake the desire for one for the other. We have a natural yearning for growth of spirit, to become more, to realize who we truly are, to develop and grow. And that is the yearning of a child to grow up, yearning of the natural course of things to unfold. It's a yearning, it's like the yearning of time unfolding in the world. It's natural. It's a part of the very nature of things, the nature of us, to bring that seed of light to growth, to fruition. There is, of course, the subverting of that yearning into desire for something this, something that. There's a substitute for that. A substitute for what we are seeking to become, we seek to have. And that satisfies a little, but like all substitutions, it's ultimately unsatisfactory. So we seek more and more and more. Consumer culture is built upon the fact that your desires cannot be satisfied that way. So there's always more to stuff to sell you to try to satisfy your desires. In the readings for today, in the lesson, it's the version of Christ asking the disciples, "Who say you that I am?" It's in the canonical texts. In this version, it's Peter who, perhaps for once, gets something right and is able to provide the answer that is tied into this larger transcendent understanding. "Who say you that I am?" Well, people say that, actually I think in the canonical version it's who they say that I am. You know, John the Baptist, well, that's kind of odd because apparently the two met, but there was some continuation of understanding between the disciples of John and the disciples of Jesus. This was kind of awkward for the gospel writers to take care of. And the disciples of John continue to this day as the Mandaeans and are extraordinarily Gnostic. Those who think that Gnosticism wasn't around in early Christianity got that to deal with. So there is this one answer that ties him in with John the Baptist, with this whole tradition that he had. And then, of course, there are other prophets and so forth come back. Elias, Elijah. And we have this different understanding of Jesus as being a teacher, which he was, being a prophet, someone who taught, spoke from this divine perspective. Then Christ asked, "But who say ye that I am?" And that's the important question. There are lots of answers as to who Christ is, was, will be. Everybody's got one. But the only one that really matters is the one you have. And this Peter says, "You are the Christ of God. You are the anointed God. You are the Messiah, the Messiah." And Christ charges them not to say this to anybody. He also praises Peter because there's only one way he could have known this, had this attained this gnosis of who Christ really is. We must attain our own gnosis of Christ. You can read about him all over the place, and it's good to have multiple perspectives of these things, to see the meaning within the stories told, to see the historical meaning, see, to some extent, might not hurt you to see the theological meaning. It might bore you, but it won't hurt you. But the real meaning is the living meaning that is within you, the transformative power that is within you. If you do not touch that, then Christ is just an idea, just a symbol other people use. It's not presence within you. In this time, the traditional 40 days of the presence of the resurrected Christ, we burn a paschal candle. This light symbolizes that presence. It is that presence that the Gnostics turned to, that they saw as being the valuable and most important period, most important presence. The time before the resurrection, time before this spiritual indwelling presence was felt, isn't as important as the time after. And that it is from this period that the Gnostic texts that speak of the teachings of Christ usually refer to. These are the teachings of the living Christ. By that they mean this indwelling presence living within us. We experience. It is both a part of us and not a part of us. It is this mystery tied up with our own inner divine nature. And if this light is present within us, we have it guiding us. And to some extent, it doesn't matter whether you call it Christ or not. But that gives a meaning. Participation in the story gives a way for us to understand it, to hold on to it, to reflect upon it a little bit longer. So that when we have these experiences, we have a way of learning from them, gaining that understanding, that gnosis. Must have some way, or it will come off us like water off a duck. We have experiences all the time. What do we learn from them? You know, a lot of times, look at other people, of course. We don't do this ourselves. I don't know. Other people who will, you know, beat their head against a wall or something. Why haven't you learned from that experience? Keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. But we ourselves, we don't have a way of reflecting upon this, holding this in consciousness. We won't learn from it either. We won't become more. We won't be transformed by it. We will not have gnosis from it. The gospel readings are from Thomas. The first one is Christ saying that it's poor people. Don't they realize that naked they have come into the world and naked they seek to go out of it again? They don't realize that they are here to accomplish something. What they're here to accomplish isn't buy a new car. That's nice. But it's to become something more. To grow inwardly and spiritually. To achieve that pearl, which is talked about in the Hymn of the Pearl. That we are participating in this cosmos for some greater purpose. One, to unfold our divine nature into the world, and so change the world. But the other is to be changed by that participation ourselves, to grow spiritually, to gain gnosis, to obtain that pearl. In that way, not just change the world, but come to a completion of transformation for the divine. The Gnostic texts we come from the Pleroma, the fullness. And this emanates out into the universe. And its final manifestation is us. And we then, to our own growth and transformation, must return. We return transformed, changed. We have participated in this great transcosmic story, in this transcendent story, and we return. And when we return, it is not the same. We are not the same. The divine is not the same. We have changed its nature, brought it to a completion through our own actions, our own lives. That's a heavy responsibility. It's not something you can accomplish just quickly, but it's also merely the living out of your own nature. It's not something extra added on, something that comes from growing within oneself, realizing who you are, coming to wholeness, completion. Living out that divine spark, the seed of light within you. For as second reading from Thomas says, if the spirit has come into existence because of the flesh, it's a marvel. We are not merely the result of physical processes, though we, of course, include them. They are part of us. They give us form. We are formed by this. But we are connected to this transcendent reality as well, passing through us like that vertical arm of the cross, even while we live out that horizontal arm in our lives. And that reality is the truer one, because we can feel that, can be connected to that. The lesson says if you seek to save your life, you will lose it, because life in the world, life in attaining forms, attaining things here, it's all transitory, passes. But if you seek that life, that vertical dimension in the eternal frame of things, you will not lose it, because that is life transcendent all of these other forms. We have them both, this intersection of the cross that we live out. But we have our consciousness and our understanding generally either on one or the other at a given point. We must seek to bring these two together, to be able to live in the world with this understanding of the wealth of spirit within us. This understanding of ourselves is living out this divine story. It's It's understanding that we are here, not to come out of the world naked, but to accomplish something, accomplish the most important task we can dream of. So let us go forth in this completion, in this understanding of Holy Week, this understanding of our own participation in those mysteries, with this growing realization of ourselves as participants, not just in that story, but in this larger story. Our wealth, not just in our abilities, the wealth in our being. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us and reign with us all. More information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.